Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 166 of High Character. Very disappointing weekend for UMass hockey. Home and home with BC, big rival, big weekend, and they get nothing. 6-0 out of 6 points. They get swept. They give up 11 goals, only get three on the weekend. So not a lot of great things to talk about. It was a tough weekend all around, but nonetheless, we are here to talk all about it. My name is Cameron, and as always, I'm joined by my good pal, Evan. Evan, I kind of have to imagine how you're feeling, but I'll ask just the obligatory question. How you feeling?
What do you mean, man? I'm jovial as can be. I'm smiling right now. Life is great. No, real shit. That was a horrible weekend. Sucks, obviously. I mean, it was going to happen eventually. I know that sounds like fuck to say. You know what I mean? Because, like, obviously, you're not like, we don't want UMass to lose. You know what I mean? But like, weekends like this are gonna have, like, every team has this. You know what I mean? Like, it, again, I say this on the schedule preview every year. Do I want UMass to get, you know, be 34-0 or 36-0, however many freaking games we play? Yeah. You know what I mean? But it's not realistic. You know what I mean? Like, do I think this is a good team? Yeah. Are we gonna figure it out? God, I hope so. You know what I mean? But we knew there were going to be growing pains. You know what I mean? We knew that not every game is going to go 100% according to plan. And I think we just happened to, you know, string together two losses in a row. You know what I mean? Like, we've gotten sweeps before in our favor this season. I feel like the pendulum was going to eventually swing back around, and it sucks that it happens against BC. You know what I mean? But it is what it is. So, you know, I'm ready to talk about it. I'm not hitting the panic button just yet, but we'll get to that conversation a little bit later in the episode, I assume. So to answer your question bluntly, Cameron, not doing the best, I think is a good way to put it. Not the best.
Yeah, I don't want to just blanket say, like, every team is going to go through that. Like, most teams are going to get swept in a year, but, like, I'm looking at Western Michigan last year. I feel like they're a really good comp to UMass, just with, like, not a ton of draft picks. Like, mm-hmm. Just kind of a older, well-built team compared to the first round young teams like BC, yep, that kind of thing. And they didn't get swept at all last year in their national championship season. So, like,
that's fair.
I mean, I don't love it. Obviously I don't love it, but, like, I don't know. I think we are still 1 week out from hitting the panic button, but, like, it's a big uphill battle from here. They've kind of really dug themselves a hole, both in Hockey East and in the National.
But, I mean, I just feel like it's a bit of an unfair comparison. You know what I mean? So it's like by that logic, Cam, do you just immediately think, well, we got swept, so we're not winning the Natty now? You know what I mean? Because, like,
no, but it's a bad sign is what
I'm saying. Of course. Yeah, no, and I completely agree on that respect. But, I mean, I'm not doom and gloom to hell just yet. You know what I mean? Like, there's still, what, 20 something games? Like, we're what, maybe a third of the way down, you know, done with, yeah, the season right now. We're 7-6. We're still above 500. You know what I mean? Like, again, if this upcoming Providence series goes bad, which we're gonna, you know, obviously preview and talk about in this episode, then we're gonna have to have some serious conversations. You know what I mean? But I think until then, you know, who knows? We might sweep Providence. We've owned Providence these past couple years. I think, you know, in theory, it should be a favorable opponent, at least historically. If we sweep them and we're right back to, you know, what, 10-7, or no, sorry, what would it be, 9-6 then, you know, mm-hmm, then we're chilling. You know what I mean? So again, you know, let's talk about the series. There's a lot that we got to talk about and recap. You know, it's unfortunate, but we're going to have episodes like this. Let's just try to not make it a habit going forward. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We'll do a little housekeeping before we get into the action. Should have mentioned it at least briefly last week, but it kind of slipped our mind recording, but the Olympia Drive fire that affected Amherst displaced, like, so many students a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's really bad. Obviously, it's been well covered in the social media, the news outlets, and stuff like that. We are donating all of our proceeds from Patreon this month of November to support the students that were affected by that fire. It's not an ad for you to join our Patreon. Like, you could even make, like, a 1 month, like, plan, and all of that money will go directly to the Olympia Drive fire victims. But we thought that was the right thing to do, give back to the UMass community. It's over 200 students that are dealing with that right now. So want to do what we can. And if you guys want to as well, you can go check out in our our links in all of our social media bio. There's the link to directly donate yourself if you want to go help the efforts, or if you want to subscribe to the Patreon, you could do it, like I said, just a 1 month thing, and get yourself some high character UMass hockey content out of it too. Feel free to do it. But yeah, I felt like it was the right thing to do. Just so close to home, that kind of thing. So we want to help where we can.
Yeah. I mean, dude, it was devastating. Like, if anybody that was, you know, personally affected is listening to the pod right now, you know, hearts go out to you. You know, I don't want to say like the stereotypical like thoughts and prayers, because I feel like that tends to get used in other contexts as well, but you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, we're thinking of you, feel bad. It's obviously a horrible situation. That's nobody's fault. You know what I mean? That's just the way that freaking sometimes the cards fall. So again, you know, hopefully everybody's doing well. Hopefully everybody's doing the best that they possibly can, you know, considering circumstances. So, you know, hopefully everything works out, and we're thinking of y'all. So thank you for everybody who's donated so far. You know what I mean? And, you know, just trying to support the community that we know and love the best that we possibly can. So never going to be easy, but I think UMass out of, you know, any group is going to find a way through. You know what I mean? I feel like UMass is pretty darn resilient at the end of the day. So I think everybody's going to figure it out. But yeah, hopefully everything works out.
Yeah. And yeah, like we said, donating everything from November. So feel free to donate just on your own. If you're able to, obviously. So it's a good cause, helping out some UMass students.
For sure.
All right. So let's get into these games. Big home and home. First game at Conte. Kind of a house of horrors. Not last year. Got a nice win there last year. So vibes were a little bit higher going in. Not too many changes in the lineup coming into this game. You still have the stacked Musa, Galanik, Nestrosil first line there, which was awesome. But Bo Cosman is back from injury, which is good. He missed a few games. So great to see him back out there. And I guess the big news is no Michael Rabel for a second straight series. From all we know, the only thing Carvey will say is it's day-to-day. We think it's a lower body injury. Not really sure what the timetable is, but definitely more alarming not seeing him in the lineup this weekend as opposed to just a one-off weekend. So not really sure what to look forward to in terms of that injury.
Day-to-day is concerning considering that it's been 2 weeks of being day-to-day. You know what I mean? Like, at what point does that – like become week to week, or, you know, whatever it is, you know what I mean? So I don't know if that's just the coaching staff just kind of keeping their cards close to their chest, or, you know, whatever, but still, it is, especially considering how this series went, you know what I mean? Like, kind of want Big Mike back, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not blaming, you know, anything. Like, I think the whole team was not the best this weekend, and like I said, we'll get into that, but yeah, I think it would be good to have our second round pick, you know, kind of our normal starting goaltender back in the lineup here, because I'm not going to say that he would have necessarily changed the course of the series, but it obviously would be helpful to have our team at full strength whenever humanly possible. So, you know, hopefully everything works out. I mean, we saw him, I think, walking around in the concourse a little bit, and I think he was talking to some like Utah scouts and stuff like that. Maybe they're just checking in on him, making sure he's okay, but hoping it's not anything too serious. I mean, from what I was hearing, it's not like he's limping. You know what I mean? So, like, it clearly isn't, like, an ankle or, like, a knee thing, at least from what I can tell. I don't know if that means it's, like, a groin injury or something. I don't friggin' know. You know what I mean? It could have been a muscle strain, but he seemed to be looking okay enough, you know what I mean, from what other people were texting me and telling about, like, when they saw him. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, I think, you know, obviously sooner rather than later is going to be the preferred outcome here.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. I could see them, even if it's not too major, like pushing him back just to make sure he's good for the second half of the season. But
I guess
we'll have to see where that goes. But Jackson Irving getting the start again, his third straight start after the shutout performance against Maine last weekend. And yet again this year, I mean, it's happened too frequently. UMass did not come out of the gates hot in the first period. BC really controlled play for good majority of this period. Just I think the standout aspect, and it wasn't just this first period but the whole game, is BC's forecheck was incredible.
Yeah,
I mean, UMass just had so much trouble getting the puck out of their own defensive zone, and that was clear pretty much this whole series, but especially here in the first. And really against the grain of play, UMass gets an odd man rush. Galanik has the puck coming up the right side, and he fires what looks like a cross crease pass, bounces off the leg of a BC skater and into the back of the net to make it 1-0. Sometimes you just get lucky like that, totally against the grain of play, but halfway through the first, UMass has a 1-0 lead.
I mean, Cosman comes back for this series, right? And then he's kind of like whispering into Glennick's ear, like, hey, man, I know that I scored my first goal in the exact same way, so maybe you just throw it in front of the net, see what happens. I don't know if he was giving him some advice on the bench or something like that, but that was exactly how Glennick scored. So, I mean, it's great to see. You know what I mean? I think Glennick has been sneaky. I don't even want to say sneaky, but, like, I feel like he hasn't really been getting his props. You know what I mean? Like, he has been a very effective player for us, you know, really solid in the faceoff dot, speedy little guy. You know what I mean? Like, he knows how to play the game of hockey. Like, he's wearing number 10. He kind of gives me Don's vibes a little bit. Like, obviously not to, like, the exact same extent. And, like, you know, it's not like he's a fourth-round pick or anything like that. But, like, he just plays a simple, effective game. You know what I mean? Like, get pucks to the net, forecheck well, win your faceoffs. Like, obviously, you know, it's an easy connection to make because he's wearing number 10. But I really do see a good amount of Donzel Schmelis in him. And I think he's going to be a guy that's going to continue to improve a ton, you know, during his time at UMass, similar to how Don's did.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be great production-wise. He's obviously being trusted with a lot of the face-off responsibilities for sure already to this point. First-line minutes with the big guns of Musa and Nestrosil. So he's definitely being trusted in that way, and glad to see it paying off. He got his first goal last weekend, and I can see the floodgates kind of opening for him, which would be fantastic to see, obviously. But
definitely.
Good to get on the board there, 1-0 UMass, and not too much later, literally 57 seconds later, BC was able to even up. Dean Latorno, the Bruins draft pick, who very notably had his struggles last year, was able to get this one home. Kind of a, I think it was a deflection.
Yeah.
If it wasn't, it's not a great look on Irving, but if it was deflected, it is what it is. Makes it 1-1. It seemed like it was about time with how BC's offense was kind of firing early in this period.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure it was a tip out in front. I'm actually trying to find it again right now just to double check. But, yeah, I mean, it literally says in the description that he got a tip out in front. I mean, I'm trying to watch the play right now. Give me 1 second. Yeah, I mean, dude was literally just battling in front with Oldie. And, yep. Like, dude's 6'8", like, freaking, like, 230. You know, he's freaking huge, right? So, like, it's tough to move him out of the crease and to not have him kind of, you know, get that sort of play out in front. Unfortunate for Irving on that one. You know what I mean? Like, you get a big guy, you know, tipping it out in front like that. It's not exactly what you call a recipe for success defensively. So, I mean, you know, I think a lot of it does still stem from just the fact that they were just kind of wearing us out. You know what I mean? Like, again, like the forechecking and the backchecking, like, I know that I'm sitting here harping about, like, UMass's, like, perceived kind of lack of offense, you know, especially on when we get scored on. But, like, I really do think that kind of played a big part of specifically this goal. But, like, I think the rest of the goals that happened in this game, right? Like, I think we just looked maybe just a bit more tired. I don't know if that's the term. But, like, you know, I think the good thing about, like, you know, if you can get sustained offense and sustained zone time, like, for UMass, right, like, you're wearing down the other team and you're giving yourself a pretty decent rest because you're not having to win, like, defensive zone board battles all the damn time. You know what I mean? Like, you're in possession of the puck. You control the pace of play. We didn't really do that in this first period. And we really didn't do it a lot this entire series. You know what I mean? So, like, we were just constantly on the back foot, constantly absorbing pressure. And it's just going to slowly whittle you down as the game went on. And I think, you know, obviously we're only halfway through the first period when this goal gets scored on us. But it was kind of a recurring theme throughout the rest of the game. And it really worried me, you know, 10 minutes into this one when it's got scored on us.
Yeah, I mean, luckily UMass was able to kind of weather the storm after this for a little bit. Play still kind of going in BC's favor. But again, against the grain, UMass gets an odd man rush. Seemed like the way BC was playing with their super aggressive forecheck that they were kind of handing UMass those odd man rushes if they could finally break through that forecheck. And they did here. Jack Musa comes up the left side. Very similar to a goal he scored when he was actually behind the goal line at Lowell last year, if you guys remember that one. Comes up on the left side, fires one bar down. Wasn't quite behind the goal line like that other one, but really pretty goal. Heard the nice ping even high up in the bleacher seats at Conti. Makes it 2-1, and that's the lead that UMass brings into the locker room. It didn't feel like they totally deserved to be up 2-1, but hey, in hockey, you'll take that any day of the week.
I know you didn't even mention it, but, dude, the friggin' pass from Nestrosil, like, it was literally just a little tiny drop pass, but, like, kind of a no-look, like, just kind of – that's the chemistry. You know what I mean? Like, you just – you have a feeling that you know your star player is going to be on the receiving end of that, and Musa just kind of almost did it all himself after the fact. You know what I mean? Like, that's the part that you were talking about, Cam. But I just wanted to highlight Vaslov on that one. I thought that was just a nice little drop pass. You know, brings the pressure into the mid slot kind of, and brings kind of the defender away with him, and gives Jack just a bunch of wide open space. You know what I mean? So I think that's a super smart play. You know, and the finish was just unbelievable, right? Like, almost no angle, bar down. Unbelievable. Like, you know, Kluche ended up having a pretty darn solid weekend, all things considered. He ended up shutting us out in the second game, spoiler alert. But we beat him clean on this one. You know what I mean? Like, a hell of a shot, hell of a rip. That's what Jack Musa brings to the table. That's what is, I think, what is that, 16th point, I think, of the season already, or something crazy like that. I forget the exact number. I'm going to pull it up right now. Cam, do you mind stalling for time a little bit there?
I don't really have much to say. It's some
fair enough.
Meat of this game is coming up next for us.
I know. All right. Well, with that being said, I did finally find the time to pull it up. So I don't know if that was his 16th or 17th point, but currently, as of the end of this series, has 13 games played, 17 points on the year so far. So he's looking pretty darn solid, over a point per game, and I think goals like that are a big reason why.
Yeah, it's impressive. I mean, We talk enough about him on this podcast, but I can't talk enough about him.
He's
special talent, and we're seeing it game in, game out, which is awesome to see. So we move on to the second period here. Another kind of classic case of UMass not getting their best foot forward here at the start of a period. BC circling around in their offensive zone. They have the puck on the left side of the blue line. Skater kind of skates in a little bit towards that faceoff circle. And he fires a shot home on Irving. I want to say one of the worst looking goals that Irving gives up. He wasn't totally screened like crazy, positioning kind of off. He gets beat on the blocker side there near posts. It's not a great goal to give up to tie this game up.
All right. I'll be honest. This is the first time I'm looking at this one back. Oh man.
Yeah,
part of it is, I mean, now I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm a goalie coach. You know I'm not. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have the professional experience under my belt. Is Irving getting much help from the D here? Not really. Like, it looks, is that Hanrahan that's selling out, I think, for that block there? I can't tell. Whoever the guy in front of the goal scorer is, like, basically right in the face-off dot. I don't know if that's Hanny. I think it is. It looks like a number two after he turns around. Couldn't get the block there, and I think in theory kind of screens Irving a little bit. You know what I mean? And there is a bit of a puck battle going on. I'm assuming that's Nye is out in front, because usually they're on the same pairing together. But Irving, he's covering the middle of the net when the puck's above the faceoff dot. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that's just a case of just bad angles to the puck, or, you know, obviously being screened a little bit is not going to help. He might have thought that the puck was a little bit closer to the midpoint of the slot, you know what I mean? So, you know, he can kind of adjust a little bit, but just not the best reactions. Again, I think there were some other factors at play here that were not helping Irving in the slightest, but looking at this one back, not a great look. You know what I mean? Like, for it to get tied up in that manner is frustrating, to say the least, I think I'll say.
Yeah, definitely wants that one back. As we keep going here in the second period, very eventful period. Del Elche got boarded like crazy, and they didn't end up calling it a little bit after this goal. Right in the numbers against the glass. Should have been called all day of the week. It doesn't. Olvestad got lit up at center ice, too. They actually, UMass challenged that play and ended up being nothing for head contact there. So BC throwing the body. Then about 7 minutes left in the second period, Keenan's in a puck battle against the sideboards. Gets bumped out to the blue line. And Keenan, I guess, gets his legs crossed up. He didn't totally get tripped, but he goes down. The guy coming out of that puck battle is able to slip right down through that faceoff circle, catches a pass from the blue line, and fires it past Irving. Kind of an unfortunate turn of events there, leads to BC getting a 3-2 lead.
So real quick, before I talk about this goal, Cam, I want to bring it back to that challenge that Hunter Deal had. So let's say you are the director of hockey ops in this situation, and you're running the situation room as it is to try to figure out where the video review should happen. Would you have instead challenged the hit on Del Elche instead of Olvi?
I mean, having the replays like I did once I got home from this game, absolutely. I mean, so, even in real time.
So basically the same replays that we're hoping that Hunter Deal had live. You know what I mean?
Also, like, in real time, I was very loud yelling about Del Elche getting knocked into the glass. Like,
yeah, because I'll say I'm pretty sure my view, at least of the Del Elche hit, I didn't see live, because one of the things I will majorly complain about Conte is that you have literally like the friggin' steps of Machu Picchu, right? You know what I mean? Like, there's like friggin' 300 steps in a row to get from the bottom to the top of the damn place, and it's just constantly just a wall of people going up and down those places. Like, the sight lines when you have people walking up and down the stairs are frankly horrendous. So that was not helping my case at all to try and see, you know, Del Elche before he got, you know, hit there. But good to know that you, I mean, I guess that's what you would have done, Cam, is that you would have challenged it a little bit differently, but ended up not going that way. But yeah, going back to this goal against here, I mean, this was one of the more effective plays from Teddy Stego while he was still out on the ice for this game, because he ends up getting tossed later on in this game, which I think we're going to talk about in a little bit. But I mean, Keenan, it's a bit of a poor defensive play. I mean, you lose the puck battle right along the sideboards, right? He definitely didn't get tripped. I think he definitely got himself kind of crossed up a little bit there. Yeah, he got
his leg crossed up.
And, I mean, it's disappointing for me, because I think, and I think everybody else kind of thinks too, because he ended up getting picked for the Spengler Cup roster, he's been, I think, our best defenseman this year. You know what I mean? So to kind of have him be one of the reasons for the goals against there is really, really unfortunate. I think the crazier thing for me, did the puck go off of Del Elche here? Because it looks like it was kind of a changeup, like, when it ended up going in. I think Del Elche tried to block it, and it just took an unfortunate deflection off of his body. And I think that was what ended up beating Irving. I mean, obviously, James Hagans alone in the slot is going to be a pretty friggin' dangerous individual regardless. But again, if it takes a deflection off of our own guy before it even goes in, that's just a bigger hill for Irving to climb. So just a lot of shit just stacking up against us all in this one play right here. And there goes our lead. You know what I mean? Like, we went from smiling in the first intermission to now being like, all right, shit, it's so over now. You know what I mean? Because, like, again, we had the lead, but it didn't even really feel like that convincing of a lead at that point. You know what I mean? So, again, just a frustrating couple of periods for us, it feels like.
Yeah, and, I mean, the frustration continues right in the beginning of the third. UMass commits a penalty right at the end of the second, carries over to the third. BC just wearing them down at the start of the third, circle in the zone. It kind of felt inevitable at that point. They have the puck around the corner, comes into the mid-slot, guys all alone for a one-timer. It's kind of seemed like it was, you felt that one coming, just guy left open right in the mid slot. It's going to be dangerous every time.
I mean, I think the biggest thing to me is just like, it's death, taxes, and Boston College power plays being pretty good. You know, like, I don't know what it is. Like, whoever the hell, like, I don't know if it's Greg Brown or whoever the hell is their freaking special teams coach, but whoever is designing BC power plays, man, dude. Like, I hate to say it, but he, like, deserves a raise. You know what I mean? Like, they continuously punish us, it feels like, on the power play. And this was just another example. Like, to me, it was just a textbook case of, like, finding the soft spot in the slot, basically. And it was just execution. You know what I mean? Like, that, the word execution to me, I feel like, is probably the biggest, like, glaring mismatch of the weekend, right? Like, they executed on their attempts, and we didn't. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't necessarily say as much in this game. I think this game was more of like defensive breakdowns, but as we'll talk about in the next game, I think it was purely just an execution issue. And this is a perfect example of it in my eyes.
Yeah. And I mean, if you want to talk about defensive breakdowns, a minute later in this game, BC doesn't even have an odd man rush. It's kind of a 3-on-3 entry and just really bad coverage, to be honest, from Del Elche and Keenan. Guy slips through right into Irving's crease. Cross crease pass comes through. I think Irving gets a blocker pad on it, bounces right back out, and there's a guy wide open, able to tuck that rebound home. I think it is part of the reason, like, Harvey likes to talk about playing man-to-man defense, and playing man-to-man defense like this, I think BC especially is able to exploit that really well. It's kind of crossing up, not setting screens like in basketball, but kind of the hockey equivalent to that, and they were able to find a real soft spot here to keep pouring it on at the beginning of the third.
Yeah, I mean, the back check, I mean, on this one, I think it was a back check on Musa. Like, I think he tries to, you know, get some contact with, what is that, Will Vogt or whatever. I think it was his twig. And we just, you just couldn't get it. You know what I mean? Like, it's hockey's a game of fine margins, dude. And that right there was an extremely fine margin. But again, their execution was just better than ours. You know, and I don't know if we're going to go through the other two goals that BC scores. I don't know how you're feeling on that, Cam. I mean, we've already done this much. I don't know if we should just finish it up. But what I will say is that this is damn near an identical goal to the seventh one that we let in, the final one that I didn't even see alive, because we were like, I think we were heading down the stairs at that point, and I didn't even see like the goal actually get scored. Like, yeah, that, like, because if, I mean, we might as well just, I mean, we still have Yenchko's goal to talk about, so I won't go too far ahead of myself, but basically they get an empty netter, and then they also get, like, it was like 30 seconds after the empty net goal that they freaking scored, it was another rebound damn near identical to this one. You know what I mean? Like, just throwing it low on Irving. Irving, I noticed in this series in particular, and it might have been a little bit last series as well, he loves going down, like, onto his stomach. You know what I mean? Like, he likes doing this, like, post-to-post kind of, like, you know, both skates on either side of the post and just try to cover as much of, like, the lower third of the net as humanly possible to, like, cover up a puck, make a diving save or whatever. And it felt like a lot of the times when he gets scored on, it's because he's so low to the ground and they're just flicking pucks over him. You know what I mean? Like, off the rebound. So, yeah, it was this goal and the very last goal of this game in particular. They looked almost carbon copies to one another, and we just don't know how to clear out the front of the net or clear out rebounds to save our lives. It seems like they were just all over us, and it sucked.
It did. And from here on out, the rest of the game kind of seemed like a blur. UMass down 5-2. We see a penalty call on Bo Cosman, the holding call, and couple seconds pass by, guys skating back to the bench, and then you see all the players on the ice kind of meet up again and start pushing each other. And the result of that is Teddy Stiga getting thrown out of this game, not just a game misconduct, but he gets a DQ, which we don't see too often in college hockey. That means automatically thrown out of the game and automatic suspension that you can't appeal for the following game. So they were without him for the entirety of the game at Mullins as well because of this. You don't have to have your imagination go too far to know what went on there. He said a word that you can't say. You're going to get got every time with that. It doesn't have any kind of place in sports or just any day-to-day interactions. Like, so Stieg is gone. UMass gets the 4-on-4 for 2 minutes and then 3 minutes of a major penalty. But interesting there. I mean, you saw it the whole weekend, but BC really knows how to blow a gasket, I guess, is the nicest way of saying
it. Yeah, they're just crazy after the whistle, dude. Like, even when dare I say his name, even when Ryan Leonard is off the team, the mentality and their what you would call culture is still permeating throughout that team. You know what I mean? Again, the classic hashtag low character team. You know what I mean? But it sucks. It's unfortunate. Like, that was kind of the craziest thing to me. Was like, I was like looking down at my phone. I think I was tweeting, and then all of a sudden I look back up and like we're on a 5-minute power play, and I'm like, huh? Like, we had two hits that like maybe you could have made a claim that would have been, you know, dirty hits or whatever, and then literally there was like almost no physical contact in this one, you know, instance, and all of a sudden we're on a 5-minute power play, and I'm like, huh? Like what is going on here? So a pleasant surprise, I guess, but I think a little bit unpleasant for the way that it happened. But yeah, I mean, you know, we were kind of just hoping like maybe this is the start of a comeback. Who knows? You know what I mean? Like, it was 5-2. We had what, maybe like 8 minutes to go roughly in the game.
Yeah.
I've seen crazier comebacks before, you know what I mean? So I still had a little bit of hope, but yeah, it might've been a little too late. It felt like in that moment.
Yeah, they're able to get one back on that power play. Nice goal from Daniel Yenchko, who's having a solid start to this season. They pull the goalie. I think they pulled him with quite a few minutes left in this game and just weren't able to put one home. 2 minutes left. BC gets a breakaway opportunity off a turnover. They put it in the back of the empty net, make it 6-3. Then before you can blink, like you said, very similar goal to the fourth one that they scored in this game. They come down the other end, make it 7-3. This one's really unacceptable to me. Like, feels like the team just kind of gave up in the end. Like, it's discouraging that that kind of goal after giving up an empty netter has happened multiple times this year. If you guys remember, it happened in Omaha as well. So, like, don't love that aspect of the team's mindset where very clearly they're just taking their foot off the gas at the end. But at the end of the day, that's it. 7-3 loss at Conti. Nothing really good at all to take home from this one.
Yeah, that's the thing that really gets me. And I don't want to spend too much time on it, but it is frustrating as hell to me when we're already giving up empty netters. You know what I mean? Like that right there, in every sense of the word, is 99% of the time the dagger in these types of games. But yet we can't even lock the fuck in for the last minute of the game, even after that, to just be like, let's help out the Tendi a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, I think you were talking about that Omaha game. That was the one where Grabble had the shocker of an effort right there. Like, he literally was just stuck to his post and just kind of looked over to the other side.
With a stick out at it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was the most bullshit effort I've seen. Maybe that was when he freaking hurt himself. You know what I mean? He just hasn't been right ever since. Who knows? But, yeah, I mean, this one particularly sucked looking back at it, because you can see Irving's face and he is like, yeah, he's probably a little annoyed at himself, you know, like that, like you're getting that many scored on you, but like you could tell internally, and I'm not going to put words in his mouth or thoughts in his mouth, but from what I could tell, this is my opinion on the situation, he looked fucking pissed at his teammates. Like, no effort on the back check, no ability. Like, I get it, we just got routed, you know, against BC at Conti. We've heard it from other players on the pod before. We don't like to lose against BC. We sure as hell don't. The players don't. Coaches don't. It sucks for everybody involved, right? But at least friggin' put in the last minute of effort. You know what I mean? Like, help out the goalie a little bit, because we really hadn't been helping him out most of the game prior. At least just give him a final minute of your time. You know what I mean? And just really try to at least have the empty netter be the last one that goes in and not have another one even after the fact. So the fact that that's happened twice so far in our first, what, 11 or 13 games of the season, nothing short of unacceptable. Like, the fact that that even happens once in a season is like annoying enough as it is.
Yeah,
twice in 13 games, respectfully, fuck off. Like, that's insane. You know what I mean? So I might sound like I'm in a little bit better spirits than I'm saying this out loud, but believe me, I'm pretty pissed off when I'm saying it. I'm just trying to keep up a jovial demeanor for this pod so I'm not sounding depressed as hell and somebody needs to send a wellness check to my house. So really, really unfortunate and definitely frustrating, to say the least.
Yeah, and I mean, Carville was frustrated too. He said, not a great outing tonight. I thought the first period, our puck decisions played a lot into their transition for BC, and that's what they do well. We played into their hands, and I don't think we competed well enough, and rebound goals are indicative of that. We needed our power play to give us some more life tonight, especially with goalie out. I think we let BC get flying around tonight, and we were a little out of sorts. Multiple parts of this have me rather concerned, a little out of sorts going into one of your bigger games on the schedule of the season is not ideal, to say the least. And also saying, I don't think we competed well enough. He said that multiple times this year, our compete wasn't there. And I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, we'll get to see it at some point when we go take a look at the facilities, but like the word compete is on the wall in the freaking locker room. Like,
yeah.
To have that multiple times where the team's compete isn't there, that's concerning, man. That's like what this whole thing is built on at the end of the day. So
yeah, I mean, especially considering, like, I mean, we've seen like throughout like his like weekly newsletters and stuff, like preseason, he was very high on this group. He was like, I think we have a really good group of guys here. Like, I think they're, you know, like they've been bringing it in practice. You know, like we've had ourselves a pretty darn solid start to the season. You know what I mean? Like, at least before this weekend, like we were still, were we 7-4? Like, that's a respectable record. You know what I mean? Considering you're out of conference in your first couple Hockey East games, wasn't looking too bad in the grand scheme of things. And recently we've just been dropping the ball, dude. And it's mainly been compete. And it's like, what do we got to do? You know what I mean? Like, I'm happy that I am not a coach. You know what I mean? Like, I was saying this to you, I forget if it was after the first or the second game of the series, but I don't have any answers. And like, for me as a fan, I mean, I have no problem saying that, because it's not my freaking job. You know what I mean? I'm here to just yap on a pod talking to you, and people just like listen to us. You know, we'll throw a little bit of humor, a little bit of, you know, legitimate analysis, but like, at the end of the day, we're here for entertainment. You know what I mean? The coaching staff's out there to get results. You know, it's their job to figure this shit out. So, you know, maybe he does have it figured out and he knows what to do, and he's just going to not say it to the media openly. I mean, he's said stuff to the media before where I'm like, okay, there's some accountability there. So again, I'm not hitting the panic button. I'm just really not envious of the coaching staff right now, because it sounds like that they got some major things that we got to figure out. And it feels good that I don't have to be on the, you know, the figuring out end of that bargain. You know what I mean? Like, it sounds like we're in a bit of a hill to climb. You know what I mean? Both, you know, internally and externally, you know what I mean? Like, both mentality wise and physical wise, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, man, the team for weeks has been talking about needing to come out and have a complete weekend. Maybe you don't get all 6 points, but like, yep, you don't have duds of periods like this. And this game, absolute dud. Like, the reason that my concern level is maybe even higher than yours is at this point is like, yeah, we're right back on track. If we have a really good weekend next week, we sweep Providence, but like, they've shown no evidence that that can happen. Like, they swept Northern Michigan, who at one point this season was 0-12, if I'm not mistaken. So like,
okay, that's fair enough.
That's not like an impressive first weekend at all. Obviously, it was the first game for a lot of freshmen and stuff like that. Like, it's good. It was a good to be able to. Yeah, they're 0-12 right now. Good to be able to play college team, but like, that you shouldn't be taking any, like, shouldn't be bragging about that sweep is what, yeah, I'm trying to
say. Hold on, let me pull up our damn schedule for now. You got me thinking, Cam. Hold on, wait just a second here, because now I want to see who we've had comfortable wins against so far. So a 5-3 win against Northern Michigan, that was comfortable enough, right? Like, 2-goal cushion, I mean, sure.
Which it would have been more, but it's first game.
Yeah, I mean, and then 4-1 again against Northern Michigan, and then 4-1 against Stonehill, right? So
a game that we did not look very good in.
Yeah, but again, though, comfortable enough, at least on the score sheet. You know, I'm going purely off of the score sheet here. Every other game that we've won, besides that 4-0 against Maine, we've won 1-goal games. Omaha was 5-4. Bentley 5-4 in overtime, mind you. You know what I mean? Like, Cornell 2-1. So, yeah, dude. I mean, all right. Maybe, again, I'm not hitting the panic button yet, but I feel like the boiling point is slowly rising. You know what I mean? Like, the thermometer, the mercury is, oh man, I miss mercury now. But you know what I mean, right? Like, I'm not as comfortable as I once was. You know what I mean? So, man. All right. Cam, what's the next topic of conversation? Do you want to move on a little bit, or do we want to deep dive this even more?
Like, sorry to bring your mood down there, but yeah, I'm just trying to be realistic, and I'd love to be proven wrong, but like,
for sure,
I haven't really seen very much to prove us wrong to this point yet. So
that's fair. But what I will say, and before we move on, I mean, again, historically, we've looked good against Providence. If there is going to be, like, if you were to ask me, what Hockey East opponent would you like to play the most after getting, you know, after hitting this slump and getting swept by BC? I'd say 7 times out of 10, I would say Providence. Just, again, historically, you know what I mean? Like, they've been a pretty solid team so far this season. Normally when we play them, they look like a pretty solid team, but we just always find a way against them. So, again, like, I know the series hasn't happened yet. I don't want to look too far forward. We still got more stuff to talk about with this series, but, you know, again, all could be resolved, and this could be a wonderful springboard to go off of, you know, in the future. So, again, not totally doom and gloom yet, but yeah, Cam, you bring up some very important context. I'll definitely say that, for, you know what I mean? Like, this was stuff that I wasn't looking at before, but definitely is bringing the vibe down ever so slightly. You know, I think that's fair to say.
Well, sorry, I'm going to have to keep bringing it down, because we got one more game to talk about here. Yeah. But Saturday night at Mullins, pretty nice crowd. Teddy bear toss night, which maybe we could talk about that a hair. I mean, I was going to come in hot on this episode and be like, why don't we do what every other team does and do it after the first goal?
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah.
Glad we kind of did it this way after the first period, now that we think about it.
Dude, I told you before the game, I was like, I'm telling you right now, this is something that I wanted to talk about at length. You know, yeah, what I mean? Because, like, I feel like a teddy bear toss is, like, super cool, just because, like, it'll usually go viral. You know what I mean? Like, you'll usually have people that, like, oh, you know, like, if somebody scores their, like the first goal of the game or whatever, there's, like, a literal friggin' sea of stuffed animals. You know what I mean? And like, I don't want to call out the fans here a little bit, but like, I will say not a ton of teddy bears that I saw. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's partially on Athletics marketing a little bit, because I barely saw any students. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying students at the game. There were a good amount of students at the game. That was fine. But I did not see a lot of teddy bears with the students. You know what I mean? Like, we might have had, what, maybe a couple hundred, maybe. But, like, it wasn't, like, I've seen AHL games before where, like, literally the entire ice, you couldn't even see the ice. It's just a literal layer of just plush. You know what I mean? And, like, that's what I want to see. I want to see players diving into the shit. You know what I mean? But, like, regardless, even though no one complaining about how little there were, we wouldn't have been able to even see that fantasy play out anyway, because we got friggin' shut out, Cameron. And that is despicable, and I'm angry. I'm mad. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. I do have to apologize for being part of the problem there. The wife and I did get teddy bears and accidentally left them at home. So
good one job, dude.
Yeah, that's on us at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Some slight lineup changes going into this game. We see Colson Hanrahan line up in the third D pairing instead of Charlie Lieberman, which is of note, I would say. Hanrahan's been playing pretty well in his limited minutes so far. Bo Cosman gets slid up to the third line. AJ, and we've been pronouncing it wrong for the entire season, I guess. AJ Lacroix is in the fourth
line. I said that in the game, to be fair. I was saying that, and it was almost like half joking. I was like, AJ Lacroix. But like, that is how you're supposed to say it. Yeah, I think we're just... We've been thinking of the sparkling beverage too damn much. You know,
right.
I think LaCroix as a beverage, both one, kind of sucks, and that's just my own personal opinion, but they have ruined the pronunciation of that friggin' word for like years now. Like, shame on them. Cam, can you remind me though, I think Kerr was not in the lineup for this game. Was that a notable, or was he in the lineup?
Kerr was not in the lineup.
I was going to say, because there one thing that I noticed about this game, and I'll probably mention a little bit later, but I might as well just say it after I already introduced it. We only had three players taking faceoffs in this game, which I thought was very interesting. Like, you know, and Kerr was one of them that didn't take a single one. So that right there was the thing that, like, immediately tipped me off. And I was like, where the hell is Kerr? So, because I know I think it was just last weekend, we were giving him, like, a ton of praise for his faceoff prowess. So, yeah, that was something that I definitely noted. So, yeah, quite a different, you know, shakeup of lines a little bit going into this game.
Yeah, I'm not totally sure why he had a penalty in the first game, but other than that, I didn't see him get hurt or anything like that. That'll be one to keep eyes on. And as we go into the first period of this game, much better showing from UMass out the jump. I thought the first period was pretty evenly played. Not a lot of high danger scoring chances, but both teams kind of had each other figured out in the terms of the offense. No score after one, but good to see. Finally, UMass have some compete here against a good BC team.
I mean, what I will say, though, is that, like, we were not, and again, it goes back to my talk about execution, right? Like, I think one of the biggest things that stood out to me, I think it was, like, the first 2 or 3 minutes of the game. Lo and behold, we have an actual great scoring chance early in this game, and we don't get scored on in the first 2 minutes, which has been our normal motif, it feels like. But I think it was Bo Cosman. I forget who gave him the pass up front. Cam, do you still have the line chart open? I think, was it Van Tassel? I think he was on the third line.
It was Mellenbacher and Van Tassel.
It was either Mellenbacher or Vanny, but somebody put in like a really nice like backhand saucer pass over towards Cosman. And like Cosman corralled it for a second, had a guy pretty close to him like trying to back check him from BC, and he just eventually couldn't corral it and actually get a shot off. You know what I mean? Like, you got to be able to, like, you know, receive that pass in stride and just get a quick, like, whether it's like a little like chippy backhand or something, just put the damn puck on net. You know what I mean? Like, and that just goes back to execution. And it's just, you know, frustrating to me as a fan, because it's like, we can generate those chances and you can talk about, you know, expected goals and, you know, if we're out chance them or not, but like, respectfully, it doesn't matter if you can't put it on net and you can't put it in the back of the net. Right. Like, I forget what the actual shots were for this game, but I think they were pretty darn close. I think we both ended up with like 30 something shots, if I'm not mistaken. But
yeah, they were close in the first period too, 12 to 11 BC.
Exactly. But again, it's the big 4-0 on the scoreboard. That's the difference maker. So you got to be able to execute. You got to be able to finish. And we didn't do that. And it was concerning that we didn't do it in the first couple minutes of this game.
It was, and it didn't end up paying good. I don't know what the word is, but dividends for UMass.
Yeah.
this kind of even play continued into the second period. And about halfway through, BC started to figure it out a little bit more. They had a flurry of shots within a couple minutes' time past the halfway point in the second. And it finally paid off for them. 5 minutes left in the second period. They're passing the puck all over their offensive zone. Seems like, again, a pretty big defensive breakdown for UMass. It's four guys are covering three BC guys in the corner. Puck goes back up top. And one-timer on the right faceoff circle for a guy who's completely uncovered. You see Del Elche streaking over to try to cover him. I don't know if that's the man that he lost, but a breakdown there nonetheless. Not much Irving can do. And finally, a goal in this game to make it 1-0.
It's all about like that trailing guy, it feels like, for BC. Like, they love passing to the faceoff dots. You know what I mean? Like, that is something that I noticed. Like, I don't know if it's just on their power play or, you know, obviously this one was at even strength. You know what I mean? So, unfortunate to see. But, dude, they just have skill. You know what I mean? Like, they know how to convert on their chances. And, like, I didn't even talk about it, but I think it was back in the first period. I think Nesrosil had another crazy chance. You know what I mean? And, like, I think Musa passed it over to Nesrosil. And again, just couldn't finish. You know what I mean? Like, had a wide open look at with the goaltender. At least we put it on net this time, but Cliche stood tall. You know what I mean? So I think it's just kind of like big momentum shifts, like big shifts in momentum like that. You know what I mean? Like, we get ourselves a good looking scoring opportunity, can't convert. They can go back up the other way. You know what I mean? And they're making their chances count. Like, I mean, I feel like we were playing decent enough through the first two periods. You know what I mean? Like, we were matched from stride for stride. Like, we had better compete, but like, it's not enough. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if it was a case of, you know, us looking bad or if BC was just really on their shit, you know, in this game. Because, yeah, obviously 7-3 is not a way that you want to lose in the first game. But, like, I don't know what's worse, Cam, 7-3 or 4-0. You know what I mean? Like, is that, like, a thought exercise for you? Like, is that something that you would, like, think about? Like, what scoreline would you rather lose by? And that's, like, a serious question. You know, like...
The context depends. Like, if one of them is empty netter included and stuff like that, it changes it a little bit. Like, I like seeing a score, but I mean, giving up seven goals is awful at the same
time. That's what I'm saying. So, like, it's like a matter of like, what do you prioritize? You know what I mean? Because like, they're both the same goal difference. You're still losing by four, right? Like,
well, I really can't honestly answer that. Like, a loss is a loss to me.
That's correct.
People that try to take home like silver linings from stuff like this, and it's like, but it's still a full loss and 0 points in the schedule. Like,
yeah, I think you and I are no stranger as people who passively follow UMass football. We're not a big fan of moral victories. You know what I mean?
Right. It's like, what are the actual results say? Exactly. Because that's what matters the most. Like, you could have all these moral victories and stats and expected goals, like all that kind of stuff, but at the end of the day, it's a loss. Like,
at the end of the day, I want Ness to show the point up to the scoreboard and laugh in somebody's face and say, "Hey man, scoreboard," like he exactly did, you know, like a little while ago. So, you know, it sucks. And just, you know, obviously with hindsight and looking back at this, but like, technically the game is over at this exact point. You know what I mean? Because we're not able to score anymore, which is just it's frustrating to say the least. And I think that was that guy's first goal too.
Yeah.
Like his first career goal. So it's like, just of course, you know what I mean? Like, just
he was the guy that was in place of Stiga with the suspension, I believe. So,
oh, so there you go. Yeah. I mean, perfect sense.
But UMass comes out for the third period, trying to scrounge that game tying goal in, and it just doesn't happen. A few minutes into the period, BC's passing the puck around in the offensive zone again, fire a deep shot from the blue line, and it gets tipped in front. Make it 2-0, and not too long after, skating circles around the offensive zone again. BC skater puts a wraparound on. Looks like it goes, I don't know if the guy he's passing it to on the wraparound, if he intentionally put it in or if it went off his skate or something, but went in the back of the net past Irving nonetheless. Makes it 3-0. UMass at that point, that was kind of the dagger. They pulled their goalie with quite a few minutes left, 5 minutes left, and BC hits a long-range empty netter. So, ugly third period. Like you said, the shots were pretty even, but 4-0 is 4-0 at the end of the day. They got the job done when it mattered, and another loss. UMass swept. BC gets all 6 points, and again, there are some moral victories you could take away from this, I suppose, if you want to, but at the end of the day, it's two losses, man.
I'll be honest, I don't even know if you can. Where are the positives here? You know what? It's one thing because like we did have our chance to score. You know what I mean? Like, that's what frustrates me more. Like, you can look at that type of argument and you could say, well, we had our chance to score. And it's like, yeah, objectively, is that a good thing? Like, is chance generation something that's going to work out in the long term? Yeah. But, like, you know, chance generation in the long term is not going to just win you games like these. You know what I mean? Like, you can take it as either a positive, or you could take it as, dude, we generated all these chances and we couldn't score a single fucking goal. You know what I mean? Like, it's frustrating. So, you know, it was a tough weekend. There's a lot of things that we need to figure out. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy to me because, like, I was kind of, like, coping a little bit after that first loss that we had this weekend, because I'm thinking, like, oh, well, Maine beat our ass in the first game, but hey, at least we responded well. You know what I mean? Like, I think Cardi was saying, he was like, we did some soul searching or whatever. I'm like, all right, can we get some soul searching tonight, please? You know what I mean? Like, can we do something to kind of, like, get everybody back on the same page and just bounce back and get that split? You know what I mean? Because, again, if we split this weekend, we could split the rest of the year, you know what I mean, and probably be in a tournament spot, because we'd end up like 21-17 or something like that, similar to last year. This a sweep was worst case scenario, you know what I mean? And now the way that I think about it is, if we ever get swept, eventually at some point down the season, we got to sweep somebody to get that back. You know what I mean? Right. And again, the only team that we've swept so far this season was 0-12 Northern Michigan, a team that everybody that they have faced so far has swept. We are not special in that regard. You know what I mean?
Can I rattle off the teams who have also swept Northern Michigan?
Fuck it. Let's go for it, dude. Let's pad out the episode a little bit. I think that'd be a pretty damn good thing to look at right now.
Ohio State, Colorado College, Michigan State, Augustana, Michigan Tech.
Okay, that Michigan Tech one's kind of nuts. All right, yeah, this is I wouldn't call that an all-star lineup. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Ohio State got Big Ten money, so they're probably doing okay. You know what I mean? Like, Colorado College is not bad. I think they're getting ranked votes right now. They might even be ranked. I don't remember, but shows what I know about Western hockey. But, yeah, I mean, some of those teams are solid. You know what I mean?
Can I just add on to it?
Go for it.
Can I tell you the goals for and goals against for Northern Michigan?
Can I make a guess?
Sure.
They played 12 games. Is that correct?
Yep.
I'm going to say they've scored 15, and I'm going to say that they've given up like 52 or something crazy.
You're pretty close. They've scored 17, and they've given up 47.
That's really not that far off, actually. Damn, okay. That's not bad for it just coming out of absolutely nowhere. So
it's impressively bad is what we're trying to say.
Correct, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to take a moral victory in guessing that one, considering our team didn't play too good this past weekend, but – yeah, no, that's an interesting stat to say the least, Cam.
Yeah, and also, I mean, we'll get to the Carvey quote here. I got to be honest, man, might be my least favorite Carvey quote of the season. Not loving it.
Shocker that your least favorite quote comes after a 4-0 loss. Yeah. I mean, like, come on. Like, but all right, let's hear it.
He said, that was the kind of effort I was hoping for from our team tonight after last night. I thought we played a solid game. It was a game that which team was going to get a bounce or deflection. We had some chances earlier in the game. It would have been nice to score early, and maybe it takes the game on a different course, but it was tight checking. Both teams just dumping and trying to earn it back. They got a couple of pucks to the net with some deflections, and that was the difference in the game. But I was happy with our group tonight. So I don't love being happy with the group after losing 4-0 for one.
I mean,
but also, like, it wasn't like it was a one-goal game. Like, I could see that in a one-goal game, but, like, you did give up 3 goals that were all, like, very fair, valid goals. Like, I get that hockey is a game of bounces and stuff like that, but let's not pretend like we didn't get outplayed on the scoreboard. Like,
yeah,
one goal games are one thing, but, like, this game wasn't that to me.
All right, I'm going to offer – and believe me, I've been – you know, roasting this team for most of this episode. You know what I mean? But what I will say, I forget what show or where I've heard this before, but I've heard a quote one time of some sort of pop culture, but it was like, I don't condone this, but I understand. Like, that's kind of how I feel. Like, you got to think of it, right? If you're thinking of it from like the whole game, right? We were matching them for basically 2 periods. You know what I mean? Like, the shots were relatively even through 2 periods. We're not losing through 2 periods. You know what I mean? Like, it was pretty darn close. And then the moment that that first goal went in, I don't want to say that we capitulated, but I feel like, and again, I think Carvey is trying to say this, you know what I mean? But basically said, you know, if we were the ones to score first, that would have changed the trajectory of the game. I think because BC scored first and they scored pretty late into that second period, we were constantly trying to chase from that point onward. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have like a stat for this. Like, we could ask like Nathan Strauss or somebody for it, but like, and this is just pure eye test and vibes. I have no basis to back this up. I might be completely wrong, but like, I feel like if UMass scores first, they're pretty damn likely to win the game. And that's probably the case for most hockey teams. You know what I mean? Usually if you score first, statistically you're going to win. But like, I feel like even more so, like, I feel like whenever UMass is playing from behind, it can get kind of rough. You know what I mean? Cause like, we're constantly trying to like, you know, stop the other team rather than impose our own will. You know what I mean? And that's what I feel like kind of happened, was like, we were playing from behind. We just didn't kind of have like that sort of like freeness and confidence. You know what I mean? Like, we were just constantly on the back foot, similar to that first game. You know what I mean? Like, the moment that BC kind of took the lead on us, it was over. You know what I mean? It wasn't like we were really kind of battling back and forth and trading goals. It was just, we started off on the right foot, we were leading, and then all of a sudden BC just kind of ran away with it. And that was kind of what happened with both goals, and both games. We didn't really have an answer. So, I mean, if Carvey would have explicitly stated, hey, I think we played a good first two periods, and then the third period was tough, like, you know what I mean? Like, because we got, like, this third goal, it keeps friggin' replaying on my Twitter feed right now. Dean Letourneau literally, like, no offense to Owen Murray, again, great friend of the pod, we had him on the pod, but, like, he's not the biggest defenseman, you know what I mean? And he's going up against a guy that's 6'8", or 6'7", whatever the hell he is, do the hand thing. But, like, it's just, like, it's not even a fair comparison in terms of, like, size and strength, you know what I mean? Like, he just got bullied by Dean, and he just wrapped it around in front of the net, and it was just an easy tap in. You know what I mean? Like, that's not like a, that's not even like a compete thing. That's just, we just weren't strong enough. You know what I mean? Like, so it's, you know, you can't let yourself get beat by that and just, you know, have the other team, like, that right there is a perfect example of another team imposing your will onto UMass. We had no answer to that in any stretch. It wasn't even like we had a chance to like, oh, we could have cleared the puck out better. No, those were two, you know, net front battles that we just got belt to ass on, basically, and we had no response. So it's frustrating. I mean, lo and behold, of course, it's friggin' this, the one weekend that BC plays UMass where they get their first friggin' home win, and I think it was their first consecutive wins, like, in a series or something like that. Like, BC has not had a good start to the season. Like, and then it's like all of their frustrations and all of, like, the pent-up goals that they weren't getting previously just all friggin' rushed out against us. And we were just the poor, unfortunate souls that had to deal with it. You know what I mean? So it sucks, but I'm just hoping that we just get out of this funk quickly. You know what I mean? I just want to put this behind us as soon as we possibly can and just hopefully move on to greener pastures. But I don't know how confident I feel that we're going to be able to do that right now, but we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know either. I'm hoping for the best, but I'm certainly not happy with how the team on Saturday. It's my opinion, but. What do you say we move on to our awards for this series?
Let's get it, dude. Well, not like there's too many to hand out, but yeah, yeah. You get the idea.
Yeah. For their first award, CCC, Carvel's character and compete. Basically our player of the series, and not a ton of options when you lose a series and get outscored 11-3, but we wanted to give this guy some praise. We went with Jack Galanik. He scored his first goal of the season finally last weekend against Maine. Get the monkey off the back there, and he scored another one obviously on Friday because we got shut out on Saturday, but he had another assist in that game as well for a couple points. Really hope that first goal is kind of opening the floodgates for him, and he's the most trusted faceoff guy right now. Obviously he's on the top line, so he's getting the majority, but he's taking a lot of faceoffs, and he's not doing too bad. So felt like kind of got swept under the rug a little bit, wanted to make sure we gave Jack his praises because he's looking real good for a freshman right now.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, like, I think the faceoff thing is really important because he took by far the most out of anybody. And again, it's obviously you're on the first line. You know what I mean? He's the most trusted guy in that situation. He's going to be out there for a reason. But, like, he's the only guy on the team, I think, this weekend to even be 500 in the dot. Like, I think everybody else that took faceoffs, I mean, obviously if they took more than one faceoff, because I think in the first game, I think, like, Wild, like, took one, and I think, like, somebody else took one. So, they were 100% in the dot this weekend, but limited sample size. Jack Atlantic took like, I think it was like 50 plus faceoffs or something like that. And he was still 500. You know what I mean? Like, he at least broke even. Everybody else was like 40% or below. So we were getting destroyed in the faceoff dot as well. But at least we had a bright spot in Galanik. And I mean, again, good goal from him. Solid assisting as well. So, I mean, he's just been looking good, man. He's been as advertised. You know, I was a big proponent of him leading into the season. He had great chemistry with Vaslav. It's continuing here. So, again, just hoping to kind of see that partnership develop. And he's looked really, really damn good when he's been playing.
Yeah, just wanted to make sure we give him some praise because we've been liking what we're seeing so far.
For sure.
All right, next award we give out, Good Try UMass Award. The player that we think can do a little bit better out there next time out. And kind of interesting, a lot of guys might be deserving, and I'm putting that in air quotes, with a weekend like this when you get swept. But we did pick one guy. We went with Jackson Irving, the guy that got the CCC last week, gets the Good Try this week. It's like I said, it's tough to pick one single person, but like, team gave up 11 goals this weekend and got to pin it on somebody. I mean, a couple of them, I'm sure he would tell us he wants back. Like, it's not a clear cut, like, man, this guy sucked kind of thing, but like more like a, man, we saw what he was doing against Maine, and it wasn't quite that performance this weekend against BC.
Yeah. I mean, like, was it two or three goals that we were like, those are pretty soft. You know what I mean? Like, a couple, like, and I think the biggest thing was that it was a short side. You know what I mean? Like, we were sitting there praising Jack Musa for nipping one short side on Cloutier, but it's like, that was like a legitimate snipe. You know what I mean? Like, that was like, he had maybe a puck size hole over the shoulder to shoot at, and he rips it bar down. These were like 60 mile per hour floaters. You know what I mean? That, like, granted, one was a tip, but like, it got tipped halfway to the net and it was going like 40 miles an hour. You know what I mean? And like, the other one was just like, he was screened a little bit, but again, just like wildly out of position and was just getting beat, you know, on a short side like that. So, I mean, you know, we hold our goalies, and I say we, like, both us as people, but also the coaching staff, like, they hold the goaltending to a very high standard. And when that standard's not met, well, it's both bad for the team and for that player. You know what I mean? So, you know, we were praising the hell out of him for, you know, getting that shutout against Maine last series, but we didn't really have that same success. You know what I mean? Like, when you average three goals a game, you know, in the previous series, you know, when you let in six, then zero, it's a lot different when you then let in, I guess it would have been six, then three, if we want to not count the empty netters, you know what I mean? So, like, not exactly what you'd call, you know, great continuity, if that makes any sense, you know, like weekend to weekend, and, you know, the consistency is not necessarily there. But again, I want to preface this by saying there weren't too many bright spots in this team this weekend in general. You know what I mean? So, like, this isn't a case of, like, saying, like, oh, Irving lost us the series. You know what I mean? Like, hell no. You know what I mean? I don't think there was any one player that was like, oh, well, if this guy was out of the lineup and we had somebody different, we would have won both games. Like, there's no – that's just not happening. But Irving could have definitely tightened it up a little bit better. The games could have been a little bit closer in that respect. But it's obviously just big defensive breakdowns as well that were not helping our case. So, again, back to the drawing board. Let's get it done in the next weekend, and hopefully – we don't even have to give out a good try. You know, let's hope that we get both games 4-0. You know what I mean? And we're smiling, having a wonderful episode next time around. But definitely was not this episode, for sure.
Yeah. Like you said, the coaching staff, they're I think Carvey's on record saying he expects two goals or less. Like, we have a good chance to win if it's two goals or less. And that was neither of these games. So that's our thought process there. All right. What do you got for your custom award this week?
All right. So we've been talking about this guy again for that short side snipe a ton, but, realistically, it was, you know, I feel like our custom awards have kind of changed up a little bit as time goes on, because I feel like it used to be just for, like, the most random BS that would happen in games. Like,
if mine is, so I'm bringing that back.
Fair enough, yeah, and I think we want to go back to that, but I am being a bit unoriginal, and I'm just kind of giving this as a de facto CCC award once again, but I'm giving it to Musa, another Jack that we've been giving positive awards to on this pod this episode, but I'm giving him the TSN award. So TSN, basically, Canada's version of ESPN, for the most part, they have a team called the Bar Down team that does a lot of, like, fun, like, entertainment, you know, like, content and stuff like that. And good Lord, did Jack Musa go bar down this weekend. You know what I mean? That's kind of why I'm giving it to him. Just a beautiful shot. I mean, again, just, I feel like Jack Musa only knows how to score electric goals. You know what I mean? Like, he just, like, I've never seen a softie. get scored by him where it's like the goalie gets 98% of it and it's like barely on the line or barely goes over. He's ripping these things and they're hitting backpipe. You know what I mean? Like it's going well for him. So he's been our fearless talisman this season. Like everything basically starts with him. You know what I mean? If he's having a bad game, you know, it's going to be an uphill battle for UMass, but if he's firing on all cylinders and he's leading the way, I'd like to back our team. You know what I mean? Going in those games. So he's been great. Give him the TSN award for going bar down tonight, or not tonight, but a couple nights ago. And, he's looked damn good this season.
Yeah, offensively, I'll take him over anybody in the country at this point. Like, he's just that special of a forward right now.
Not a hot take, yeah.
And also, like, I think the only thing that we're waiting to see from him, I'd love to see it before the season ends, is a Michigan goal.
I want a Michigan goal. Like,
just that'll complete his platinum trophy of goals, it seems like, at UMass, which would be cool. But
for sure.
Yeah, always good stuff out of Jack, and he can win an award every week, but we try to spread the wealth a little bit. But every once in a while, it's just too much. It was like Bobby a couple of years ago. Like, it's just too much to ignore. Got to give
for sure, something. For sure, man. What about you? What do you got for this award?
All right, yeah. Like I said, I'm going off of one of those more one instance awards. I'm giving out the Snowplow Award, and this comes from the first game at BC. We were talking about the situation where Teddy Stiga got DQ'd, thrown out of the game. And I watched that back because we were at the game. We were pretty far away. It's kind of hard to tell what was going on. But he got hit real hard. Murray came flying through the crease. Stiga was in the crease, and he got lit up. Clean hit, just buried him. So he was taking a while to get up. After the whistle, he was on one knee in Irving's crease. And you could see Irving give him the little tap with the stick, like, when he was ready. Gave him a few seconds to catch his breath, but gave him the tap with the stick. He didn't get out of the crease. So Owen Murray, captain, comes over, and just as kindly and as gently as he can, I'm like, as if he was holding a snow shovel, basically, he just puts both hands on Stiga, slides him out of the crease. Apparently that was enough for Stiga to get real mad, start using some slurs. But I really like the approach from Murray. Got to clear out, gave him a second to catch his breath. But after that, you gotta get going. It's not your crease. And I don't know. I just enjoyed him, the sight of that. It gave me a good laugh when I was watching it back.
Cam, you think Teddy Stiga was slurring on that one? I feel like he said it pretty clearly. I don't know if he was really slurring his words there. But anyway, sorry, trying to throw back a little bit of humor into this depressing pod that we've had so far. But yeah, I think that's freaking hilarious, dude. You know what I mean? Like, I do find it ever so slightly ironic that was probably our best defensive clear of the entire series. Like, that was probably the strongest that we looked in front of the net. You know what I mean? So a little unfortunate there, but I mean, hopefully it's just a sign of better things to come. You know what I mean? Like, it's unfortunate, but I do find that to be quite the humorous bright spot. You know what I mean? All things considered. So we gotta, you know, hopefully there's a light at the end of the tunnel. We try to stay positive whenever we can. And, I'm hoping that we can get those sorts of, you know, pushes out in front of the net, you know, during legitimate play, and it actually means something on the stat sheet. But we'll start off on that foot. You know what I mean? Hopefully we can kind of, you know, ramp it up from there and do a little bit better defensively. But I do find it to be quite humorous, Cam. That's a nice little pull right there.
Yeah, Nate, protecting the goalie isn't something it's something we should always be seeing, but not something we always see with UMass teams who really err on the side of not getting into skirmishes and that kind of thing. But yeah. So you have to be happy when you do see the goalie getting protected in that way.
For sure.
Which we've seen a lot of this season, which I definitely appreciate.
Definitely.
All right. Do you have anything else from these games, or are we putting them behind us and looking forward now?
I do have one more thing to mention because it didn't fit into what we were talking about. So for the home game, I crashed the hell out. I think it was in the third period. You know exactly what I'm going to bring up. So I don't know who the hell was in charge of this one. It was probably just some poor intern, and it's going to sound like they're probably not going to hear this, but if somebody who works at Mullins can please explain to me why the impact play of the game was Jackson Irving making, like, the puck was going to go 10 feet over the net, just throwing that out there, like, ahead of time. But it was like the most, like, you know, it's like a catcher, like, catching like a really high ball. If that makes any sense, like, puck's going way over the net. He just kind of like stood up, grabbed the puck, and then just like froze it. That was our impact play of the game. Like, I understand we're getting shut out. I understand that the vibes were not necessarily what you'd call high. I think we were losing 3-0 at this point. But good Lord, guys, Jackson made a couple of really friggin' nice saves in this game. You know what I mean? Like, take the extra minute and a half out. Just take a mental note of, like, a good save that Irving made. It could even be just another routine glove save. At least have it be one that was on the fucking net, guys. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even think that goes down as an official save in the stat sheet. So, like, how the fuck is there a play in the game that's not even going to go down in the box score? You know what I mean? Like, just let's use our brain a little bit here. So that was – it was just the most UMass thing. You know what I mean? Like, we talk about the fireworks from the football game. Do we even want to get into that, Cam? Like, we – there was a classic.
It's so nationally relevant that I feel like we have to.
It was the textbook Chris Paul hits a big three to cut the lead to 42 moment. Like the classic meme. It was shared everywhere. It was the first thing that I saw. Like it was the first thing that I thought of when I saw that. So, I mean, yeah, Cam, you clearly have your pieces. You were at the damn game. So I'll let you take it away here. This is your segment to shine. Go plug all of your social media stuff while we're at it in case the people don't know.
Yeah, to put a bow on the impact play of the game talk, I get that they have to have one for sponsorship's sake, but like you're right. Like at least have them making an actual save. Like come on, that was a very valid crash out from you in the moment.
So pissed.
Totally understood. And yeah, the fireworks situation, man. Like such a lack of feel to the game that like it's past a layer of embarrassing and into the like actually laugh out loud. Funny. Like you mentioned, I was at the game. I was actually taking a video when the field goal got hit. So I have my own video of the fireworks and I didn't post it anywhere or anything, but like I actually like could not hold my laugh in. Like if you watch the video, like you could hear me laughing as it happens. Like it's just like it was one of those things where like it's funny in the moment and like it'll get a lot of laughs from the outside, but like very indicative of much deeper rooted problems with the school. Like if Bamford's gone on the line and said the football's the front porch of a university, if him and Chancellor Reyes are totally fine with our front porch just looking like hot garbage, like all the power to them, but like it kind of feels like with everything that's happened, they'll look at a moment like that and be like, hey, it's UMass got posted on Barstool. UMass got talked about on ESPN. Like, I got an ESPN notification from that. Yep. Like, I don't even get UMass football notifications. It was like a national one. Yeah. Like, if they're happy with that, any publicity is good publicity kind of thing. Like, it kind of seems like that's what's happening now. But, man, like...
It's like
a deep culture problem within the entire department right now.
Like, I don't even want to like. I'm not here to get into politics, but like, that's kind of like the Trump mentality, low key. Like, any publicity is good publicity. You know what I mean? And like, that's not the way forward, bro. You know what I mean? Like, that's not a great look. Like, I don't want to steal your thunder here, Cam, but I do want to bring attention. Curry Hicks Sage had a really, really good thread about this. I don't know if you saw it personally, but if I think it was on the day that it happened, so November 13th, so it's 4 days from when we were recording this right now. He had, I'm just going to read off, like, I'm going to summarize a couple of his tweets that he made because I think he hits the nail on the head fucking perfectly. He says, in a sterile and uninspired bureaucracy like UMass Athletics, you can do your assigned duties of your job without ever understanding what your job actually is. You know what I mean? So, like, and he goes to basically say, so when UMass finally scores to cut the lead from, you know, 45-0 to 45-3 late in the game, whoever the hell was in charge of hitting the fireworks button, they did their job, technically. You know what I mean? Like, they detonated the fireworks because whoever the fuck was in charge of that guy said, hey, if we get a field goal or if we score a touchdown, set off the fireworks. You know what I mean? But nobody has the wherewithal or the creativity or just the fundamental understanding of how the fuck sports work. You know what I mean? To have the wherewithal to think, hey, we're kind of getting our ass kicked right now. Do we want to do this? Aren't the optics of this kind of bad? You know what I mean? Like, again, you have something to say here.
I will say, if that's a person who does understand and thought it would be really funny, I love that. Like, somebody was saying, like, screw this, I know what the context is, but I just, like, want to shoot them all off because I finally can. Like, I think that's funny.
Like, okay, it's funny. If you didn't go to UMass, it would be funny.
Right. Like, if they don't care about how the school is seen, it's kind of an FU. Like, that is funny.
That is objectively funny, but, like, knowing the context of just, like, how much shit publicity this freaking brought to the university is, like, what are, like, this was on Barstool, this was on freaking everything that you could possibly think of. Like, I've been talking to people that, like, listen to the podcast, and, like, they're from the South, you know what I mean? Like, they, like, came up here, and, like, they're just getting into, like, you know, college hockey for the first time, but they're coming from, like, a college football mindset, like, growing up, like, in the South. And, like, they're looking at UMass right now, like, people that I've talked to before, and they're like, what the fuck are we doing? You know what I mean? Like, this is just, like, the most insane thing ever. So, like, again, it goes back to the idea of, like, you know, I know it doesn't sound like it in this episode, but at least we have hockey. You know what I mean? Like, and even then, we're complaining about it. You know what I mean? Like, again, it was one bad weekend. At least hockey will never, at least I'm hoping in the future, because I feel like they have been the UMass football of college athletics before, because, again, before Carvey, hockey sucked. You know what I mean? I don't even know how bad it was, because I wasn't even watching at that point. We're new to this. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, I just, that whole fireworks thing, man, was just, it's an absolute joke. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, we sit here and we laugh about it a little bit, but it's like, at the end of the day, man, like, this is objectively bad. You know what I mean? And it's just such, like, I don't think I've ever seen another university have the name of the university become a verb. Like, we are UMassing right now. You know what I mean? Like, that, nobody is ever saying, like, oh, we're Penn Stating right now, or we're, you know, we're Alabamaing right now. But, like, UMass has become a fundamental idea of failure when you think of, like, college athletics. Like, and I get it, we're a hockey podcast, we're probably honing in too much on this, but it's like, holy fuck. And it is still relevant to, like, the whole, you know, play of the game thing for the hockey game. You know what I mean? It's like, yes, people are doing quote unquote their job, but they're not using, like, and I mean this as respectfully as I possibly can, but there's no critical thinking. You know what I mean? Like, there's no understanding, as Sage said, like, to what the why is. You know what I mean? Like, there's no idea of, like, what feeling that you're trying to evoke with these things. Like, you're trying to evoke the sense of school pride and, like, a pride in your athletics team. And you're, you know, that's what people come to sports to do, is to feel good and, like, to know that they're spending their time in an effective manner, both for their entertainment, but also their wallet. You know what I mean? And I'd say right now, for the wallet wise, you know what I mean? Like, with all this parking stuff and, you know, how ticket prices are going up for everything, and this is still the product that we're seeing, you know, where it's both an expensive product and, quite frankly, a terrible product, like, historically bad product, you know what I mean? To where this thing, like, we're going down in the history books for all the wrong reasons. And we're just, once again, the laughing stock of America, basically. It just blows. And I just feel like, you know, again, this isn't, you know, this isn't necessarily fundamentally related to hockey, but, like, it's so tangential. Like, and it's just, it's not even like this was just, you know, one guy just saying, like, haha, I'm going to do a funny at the football game. Because now, even in a more serious context of hockey, where it doesn't get as much publicity and it wouldn't go viral, they're still doing the same stupid shit. You know what I mean? So it's a culture thing. You know what I mean? And it's just, it's, something's got to change, bro. I don't know what it is, but something's got to change.
Good rant.
Thank you.
It's kind of a reap what you sow kind of situation for Bamford. He was talking about, like, oh, being in the MAC, like, when you get so many more eyes on the program, that kind of thing, the stability, like, and it's that, like, UMass football barely ever had nationally televised games, but now we have a few with the MAC, and that's why this got so much play that it did. So,
you know what? I'm going to give Bamford some props right here. You know what? For the first time ever on this pod, I'm going to give him some props. Because at least, because it was a Wednesday night game and there were fucking nobody in the stands there, actually, we got to save our money a little bit and just watch it at home on a nice Wednesday night. We get to laugh from afar. And we don't even have to spend
some of,
money.
Some of us, yeah.
You know, yeah, exactly. I mean, at least I can say that. You know what I mean? I was using my classic. Should I be admitting to watching crack streams on like, I was pirating. I don't give a fuck. You know, please arrest me, officer. But, like,
I think you pay for ESPN, bro.
That's a good point. I don't even know why I was doing that then. I didn't even think about that. I'm sitting here paying for stuff that I don't even use. Maybe that's like a monetary flex. Maybe I'm actually kind of cool. Anyway, that's not the point of this conversation, but at least people weren't paying money to see that bullshit in person, or at least the majority of people. You know what I mean? Like, if it was a Saturday, like, I don't even know if that's better or worse. You know what I mean? But maybe this is the one selling point of the Mac, is that it's really hard to get out there on a friggin' weekday for our hashtag Maction. You know what I mean? But at least we don't have to pay to see this laughing stock. We can just check it out on Twitter and have a nice, easy, you know, go to any freaking page, you know, that talks about college sports with a million followers, and we'll be able to see it as much as we possibly want to. So it's a mess, dude. It's so stupid. But kudos to Bamford on that. We don't have to waste our money on it in person anymore. Really, really smart idea.
Yeah, it was. I did feature it in my I made a video on my personal account that is also doing numbers right now. If you want to go see that about my entire experience at that game, it was pretty funny. I guess I'll end it on two positive things. At least they had fireworks. I thought that was actually really cool.
It
like
is.
For the national anthem and stuff like that. Like, I've never seen that at McGurk. So I thought that was cool. And it seemed like somebody may have learned, at least in the hockey Mullen side of things, they didn't do the rodent yelling thing in the third period, which maybe they saw my tweet from last week condemning it, but they at least had somewhat of a feel for the hockey game on Saturday, which was, I guess a nice touch.
Ken, I got two things for you. One, what is your social media so people could totally check out your cool viral video if they haven't already?
Just search my name, Cameron Guzzo. It's at Cameron Guzzo on Instagram. I posted it on Twitter too. My best performing tweet of all time is that video, which is kind of crazy. So people are liking the trashing on UMass. They really set themselves up to be dunked on. It was not hard for me to get some good engagement out of that.
Shout out Isaiah Rogers for the crying emojis afterwards. Like, he posted that on your video. That was,
yeah,
this is not the same UMass team that he was a part of. You know what I mean?
No.
It's crazy, but yeah, I mean, at least on the topic of critical thinking, you are right, Cam. I should have brought this up earlier, but yeah, at least they're not doing the whole freaking like prairie dog or whatever the hell, doing the ayo thing when we're losing freaking 3-0. You know what I mean? Like, that's a really good way to get people into it. So yeah, you know, one step forward, two steps back, maybe might be the mentality of UMass athletics. I might have to, you know, it feels like this, you know, you remember, was it like the mid to late 90s? We used to always do the, what was it, refuse to lose type yep. thing. We've hit the refuse to win part, it seems like. You know what I mean? Ooh. Like, just doing a complete 180, you know, it sucks. But again, enough roasting on the other programs. I think basketball is doing pretty well right now, so good for them.
So even far, yeah.
But I mean, they haven't really played anybody from what I can tell, but good for them either way. You know what I mean? They're looking like us at the beginning of the season. They're thrashing all over Michigan, you know, Northern Michigan right now, and they're sweeping teams when they should. But yeah, end of my rant. Go UMass hockey, figure it out next weekend, and we'll be okay. But in the meantime, we're kind of taking our lumps this weekend, and we're not feeling too hot going into this next series.
Yeah. Well, what do you say we talk about this next series? Because maybe we should have put our rants at the end, but we should have put our Providence a little bit.
Yeah, they get to listen. It's all good information for the people anyway. So
yeah,
let's get into it.
Home and home series with Providence. It seems to happen every year, a Thursday, Saturday home and home with Providence. I'm not sure why they're the one team we're always playing on Thursday with, but that's how it is. The Thursday game is in Providence, and the Saturday one's at Mullins. Providence comes in. They were really highly regarded in the preseason polls, and they haven't totally lived up to that quite yet. They're 5-4-2, 3-2-1 in Hockey East play. They beat a really good Quinnipiac team in an exhibition, and then opening the year, they got swept by Michigan. A lot of teams are getting swept by Michigan. That's not too crazy. They beat RPI. They tied and then beat St. Thomas. They had a split with UMass Lowell. They had a win and a tie against UConn, a split with Merrimack, and now they're playing UMass. So I think if you're a Providence fan, maybe a bit of a disappointing start to the year just with the kind of expectations they had, but still, like any other year, a solid 10 to 20 ranked Providence team. Like, it seems like it's been that way for 10 seasons now.
No, I mean, 100%. I mean, again, their team, like, I swear to God, man, it feels like every single time that I preview this team, nothing changes. You know what I mean? Like, it still feels like I'm staring at Guillaume Richard, like I do every single time. Like, I think we said that about, you know, when we were talking to Strauss before, but it's like, it just like it feels like they've had Sven back for 8 years now. You know what I mean? Like, he's still their goaltender, still the Bruins draft pick that we talk about every time, and he's still rocking his okay stats. You know what I mean? Like 907 save percentage, 2.55 goals against average. He's fine. He's probably the most mid-level hockey goalie that you can find. You know what I mean? He exists. They're big guy. Like, they kind of got like, so they got Roger McQueen on the team, who was supposed to be like this major NIL splash, basically. I think he was in, was he 10th overall to the Ducks this past season, or this past draft. He's a freak of nature. He's 6'6", you know, 200 pounds, basically a slightly heavier Vaslov, if that makes any sense. Both guys taken in the first round, but McQueen's been a little bit, I don't want to say disappointing, but like, he kind of projected to be like this absolutely like filthy, like, you know, over point per game type player. He only has 8 points in 11 games. And I mean, I say only, but again, when you compare like what his expectations were, I don't know if he's like fully healthy still. I mean, he's been swearing up and down that he's fully, you know, healed or whatever, but he basically had like a major, I think it was like a back surgery last season, which like cut his season pretty short last year. And that was like one of like the big worries for teams to pick him. Like, he was probably going to be like a top six pick. And I think he fell to pick 10 just because of the injury concerns. And I don't know, this might be the level that he's at right now, but like, he's a zero on the plus minus, 8 points in 11 games. Like, when he's like kind of your marquee freshman, that kind of, you know, like you're hoping would kind of be like your main guy going forward, he's been a little bit disappointing. Like, their top point scorer right now, I believe, is John Mustard, which is a killer name, if I must say. I think we mentioned him.
McQueen is killer too.
Yeah. No, I mean, they got some killer freaking names. I mean, so
making up for the loss of Buns.
Yes, dude. Throwback to that guy. But yeah, I mean, Mustard, he's, you know, a point per game guy right now, which is about what I expected out of him. He's been, you know, a pretty solid player throughout his junior career. And I mean, again, they're just like, they're going to be holistically solid. They're going to give you some tight defense. They're going to give you some pretty good scoring. They're going to give you a replacement level goaltending, right? So, you know, I think we're going to have a good chance against them. You know what I mean? It seems like we always do. We, you know, historically have been very, very good against them. So, you know, maybe after this past weekend, I might be a little bit more concerned, you know what I mean, as to our chances. But if there's any opponent that we're going to bounce back from, you know, and just like, you know, get back to our winning ways and I'm back on the right track, I mean, looking at this on paper, this would be the series to do it.
It would be. And I have some stats that might concern you. They might not. But also, just a side note, on Providence's website, they have the equivalent of like that old Microsoft Office paperclip.
Oh,
but it's like, it's some dog. Like, I don't know where Providence got this. It should be the Friar, right? But it's a dog saying, do you have a question?
That would be another really cool logo that they could like repurpose. Like, I want to see like a Friar paperclip, because like they have like the Friar with the hockey stick, like on their jersey. Like, I want to see Providence College Friars in multiple configurations now, like for different jobs and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know who this random ass dog is, but he's begging me to ask a question on the website. But anyway, for the stats, they only give up 2.7 goals per game so far. Their power play has been lethal, 25.6% on the season.
Pretty good.
And not a great sign for UMass, because UMass's penalty kill has been whatever the opposite of lethal is. They're giving up power play goals at a 25.7% clip. So almost exactly the same there. Expect Providence to maybe have a few power play goals in this series if UMass is undisciplined. And then they've also been lethal in the faceoff dot, 55.2%. UMass has been very underwhelming in the faceoff dot themselves, 47%. So they excel in quite a few areas that UMass is kind of their shortcomings. So we'll see how it goes. One number that really stands out to me out of all this, though, they have zero shorthanded goals on the year. They've given up 6 shorthanded goals this season, which I feel like that's a crazy number for an entire season. Like, that's a lot for a whole year's worth, and they've already done that in 12 games. So
you know what that says to me, Cam?
It sounds really like, aggressive on the power play.
Correct. Like, yeah. And you know who would be really good at punishing that?
That's yourself,
Jack Musa.
Yeah.
I if I could have a prop bet for this upcoming weekend, I think it's going to be a Musa shorty. I think that might be like, that might be like a plus 600, you know what I mean? But this is not a gambling, it's not a gambling thing. So please do not demonetize us in any way, shape or form. But yeah, I think that'd be pretty freaking cool to see. But
maybe reminiscent of Cole O'Hara's shorty last year.
A little bit. I mean, I feel like that'd be pretty freaking cool, but I do find this to be an extremely beatable team. You know what I mean? Like others have beaten them so far. I think the biggest thing, and I mean, you know, it's just, it sounds very cliche, but don't take stupid penalties. You know what I mean? Like if we stay disciplined, we match them stride for stride, we play them smart, they're not going to be able to punish us. You know what I mean? So like, do they really like, do you have on your stats cam, like what they are at even strength? Cause it sounds like the major, like a good amount of their goals are coming off power plays. Like, are they a good even strength team? Like, can you even find that out? Or
they have 11 goals on the power play and 34 total goals this year.
Yes. I mean, can we pull that up for UMass? I just want to get like a comparison. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to like
11 power play, 34 total. UMass is 12 power play, 39 total. So pretty comparable.
Pretty darn comparable.
Well, UMass has a really good power play this year too. They're 25.5%.
So. You wouldn't be able to tell that after the BC series, but yeah, no, you're definitely right in that regard. So yeah, I mean, again, another hard fought series, but I think if we just take into account the context of, you know, I think, you know, we talk about Mullins East with BC that kind of backfired on us a little bit, but I think we can fairly confidently say Schneider is Mullins Southeast, at least in terms of how we play. You know what I mean? Like we definitely, we come there to play and we usually get good results up there. So if we can do well on Thursday, you know, get a result, take that momentum back, you know, on Saturday, because again, really weird, you know, slate of games for a Thursday, Saturday, but, we can come back, get a nice day of rest in between and, you know, look good come Saturday. I give ourselves a good chance this weekend.
I do think it has to be said that the stakes for these games are much higher than games normally are in November for us.
Correct.
Like right now, UMass is 1-4 in Hockey East play. If they get swept, that's like, we're already behind the eight ball as it is. You go 1-6 to start the conference year. Like, it's really bad. We'd be 7-8 overall. Like, we're playing a lot of good teams early in this season. And that also means on the flip side that the schedule in the second half isn't that crazy.
Yep.
But like, so like there is room to get wins in the second half, but at the same time, they're not going to be the eventful wins like we've had the last couple of years, like beating really solid teams and shooting up that NPI ranking. Like,
yep.
We're putting ourselves in a position where if we get swept this weekend, I don't want to be on record as saying it because I don't know the math. It's just like kind of how it feels at the moment with how poor Hockey East has played so far. But like if we get swept this weekend, I think that might be the dagger in our at-large chances for the tournament come the end of the season.
Yeah,
like, I know it sounds crazy, but like Hockey East is having one of its worst seasons in recent memory right now. So like the ability to build back up in those rankings is going to be really, really difficult.
No, you're right. I mean, I don't want to, like you said, I don't want to go on record and like immediately make like a hasty, you know, decision like that and say that it would be the death knell, but I see where you're coming from. You know what I mean? Like usually, especially, you know, like if you're a sub 500 team, you know, after the first like 10 games, it's not looking great. You know what I mean? It's like the rabbit with like the clock, like that everybody's been posting on Twitter and stuff recently. It's just like, your time might be up, bro. Like it's not a great look. So I don't know. I mean, again, this is all speculation. The games haven't even happened yet, Cam. You know what I mean? Like, I think we just take it one weekend at a time. You know, let's not talk about the implications just yet. You know what I mean? Because we got a lot of season left, a lot of hockey to play. We don't know how UMass is going to look this coming weekend. So just take it day by day and we'll see how we do. But I think, I like our chances, at least on paper.
Yeah, you know, I know a lot of people say not to look at the pairwise or NPI now until December.
Yep.
But UMass is 37th right now, and like it's only going to go down with losses this weekend. So we gotta start picking it up. We need to, like you said, we got swept. We got to get a sweep of our own at some point. It'd be great for it to happen here.
Yes, sir.
All right, anything else you want to mention before we sign off?
Nah.
Any more rants about UMass athletics?
Nah, dude. We got another solid, what was it, like an hour and a half episode out of friggin' getting swept. Like, that right there tells you what we, you know what I mean? Like, I thought this was going to go a little bit quicker, but nah, man, I think I talked about everything that I wanted to talk about. You got anything else?
Nope. That's it from me.
All right.
All right. Well, we appreciate you guys for watching. Don't forget, donate to the Olympia Drive Fire efforts if you can. It's very important. And that's all we got. We gotta do something this weekend. We need a good result. Go UMass.
Go UMass. Take care, everybody. Beat some Friars down this upcoming weekend and get back to our winning ways.